I'm looking forward to that day, amen. If you would, in your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of James, chapter 2. And again, we just want to thank you for being here this morning. And the Lord is good, amen. And we've had a good morning so far, and looking forward to the services. And is anybody here a friend who came from out of the state of Texas? Anybody? Nobody? The Grands. It's good to see the Grands back this morning. Are y'all the Voorhees friends? Let me read the definition of friend. It says, someone on terms of affection and regard for another who is neither a relative. It's not a relative. That's the Webster's Dictionary definition. That's not the biblical definition. So, okay, they're the Hokett's friends. Okay. And I wouldn't want to embarrass Michael Allen in any way, but I'm glad he's here this morning. Hey, Brother Allen, is your ears burning? Because I've talked about you this week. Seriously, it's so good to see you. Honestly, I did. I mean, we brought up your name several times, and Juanita. It's good to see them here this morning. Amen. All right. Well, I want to preach on a friend this morning. Look at James chapter 2, verse 23. We'll use this as kind of a place to get started, and we're going to turn over to John chapter 15. So two different spots, James chapter 2. In John chapter 15, the Bible says, in James chapter 2, verse 23, and the Scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called, notice the little phrase there, the friend of God. And he was called the friend of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for your love and all you've done for us. And Lord, that you truly, we understand from the Bible that you want to be our friend. And God, I pray this morning as we look at this important truth, Lord, that we would see it clearly, and Lord, we'd all desire to be your friend. And I pray this morning and thank you that you are a friend who sticketh closer than a brother, and Lord, that you never leave us nor forsake us. What a privilege it is to be saved. What a privilege it is to be a child of God, and what a privilege it is to be a friend of the Lord. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Turn over with me to John. Look over with me at John. Chapter 15. Let's read a couple of verses there. That'll be all the only verses we turn to this morning, I believe. John chapter, I'm not saying absolutely, just saying I believe, okay? John chapter 15, and look it with me in verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Look what Jesus, now these are the words of Jesus now. Look at verse 14. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Notice it says, but I have called you friends. We notice again in James chapter 2 that Abraham was called the friend of God. What an amazing a thing to be called the friend of God. You understand that we as human beings, though some of us are a little more inward focused than others, introverted in other words, but God, we were made in the likeness of God as such, and therefore we do need companionship. A man who lives to himself, you've seen some of those island experiences, and they have a tendency to go crazy. You've read about them. I'm not talking about any particular movie or anything, because that wouldn't be factual, but man is by nature a social creature. We do have need for friends. I never forget as a teenager experiencing loneliness and a lack of friends because my dad was a good dad and taught us to be to do right, live moral lives, and because because I wouldn't go out and go to the parties and didn't go out to the parties, because I was more afraid of my dad than I was of the cheers and the mocking of my friends at school. Let me repeat that again. I was much, much afraid of my dad and what he might do to me had he caught me than I was of the mocking and of my peers. Hello, teenagers. Right? But because I did that, and because of my upbringing, I had very little close friends in high school. I'll never forget one time going to my dad crying, saying, I don't have any friends in school. And, you know, it's just one of those things. And if you're going to live right and do right, live moral lives, you are going to have a handful of friends. Right? And so, Abraham was called the friend of God. The friend of God. I told you my brother had very little friends in high school either because they called him Dippy Dan the Holy Man. Because he lived right and he did right. Again, a lot of it because we were scared of Dad. But because we were Christians and for the most part wanted to live right and do right and so forth. Abraham was a friend of God. Tonight, this morning, understand that the Bible says not only was Abraham a friend of God, but you can be a friend of God. Notice it says in verse 14, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." And he says there that a friend, no greater love is no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus Christ gave his life for us. And we can be his friends. Amazing to me that Christ would want to be our friends. My point to the other story I was getting at was that though we are social creatures and we need friends, God, He's God. He doesn't need anything. Hello? He's God. He don't need anything. But He has chosen, if you would, He has chosen to be our friend. Isn't that good? The God of the universe, the God who created the sun, moon, and stars. And man, oh, David had it right there in Psalms when he says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visit him?" He said, what in the world? Why would God even think about us? But He does. He cares for us. We were created for His good pleasure. We were created so that He might have fellowship with Him and that friendship that He desires. A friend, the Bible says, is one that sticketh closer than a brother. Proverbs 17 says, "A friend loveth at all times." I want you to know this morning that the only genuine friend we have is the Lord Jesus Christ, by definition. Because He's the only one who can truly love at all times. Amen? And if you want a genuine friend, seek the friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He is certainly seeking you. Abraham, again, was called the friend of God. And God speaking through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 41 says, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." Isaiah mentioned this, 2 Chronicles mentioned this, as Abraham being the friend of God. Abraham being the friend of God. God's friend. My friend. What made Abraham so special? What made Abraham so special? We're going to talk about that for a few minutes this morning. A friend loveth at all times. I love that old hymn. "I found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how He lifted me and what His grace can do. For you, saved by His power divine, saved to new life sublime, life now is sweet," notice that, "life now is sweet, and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. I have found a friend who is all to me. His love is what? Ever true. He loveth at all times." Abraham was called the friend of God. Why? Well, number one, Abraham was called of God. He was called of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance." By the way, Genesis 12 tells us he was called by God to go to a land he had never seen before. Can you imagine that? He was called from his father. He was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees to go to a land that the Lord promised to give to him. By faith, Abraham left. By faith, Abraham went to that country. How was he called? He was called by the Lord. How was he called? The Bible says many are called. Let me tell you, the Bible says whosoever will. The Bible says He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says He calls all to repentance. And I could go on and on and on this morning. Listen this morning. Jesus Christ wants a personal relationship with you. Jesus Christ wants a personal relationship with you. I'm going to mention this again in a moment, but understand that Christianity is not a religion. Religion means a set of rules. Listen, I don't have a set of rules to give you this morning. If you live by those rules, you can go to heaven. I don't have a set of rules for those of you who are saved. If you live by these, that you'll be the perfect Christian. Those rules do not exist in their entirety. But I can tell you this, if you'll walk with the Lord, if you'll develop a personal relationship with Him, if you'll accept Him as Savior, you can go to heaven. Amen? And so, and have your sins forgiven. Many are called. God is calling you this morning. He draws all men unto Him. God created us again. He created us for His good pleasure. God created us for fellowship. God desires that fellowship with us. When God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, He desired their fellowship. He walked with them in the cool of the evening to talk and fellowship with them. And God desires the same of us. He wants a personal relationship with you. He wants a personal relationship with me. He desires that. He desires that. But understand, Adam, through Adam's sin, we were separated from God. But we are reunited. The Bible uses the word reconciled in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Adam sinned, the Bible says, and death came upon all men, for all have sinned. When Adam sinned, God and man were separated. The Bible says, and the Bible says several times that we are now enemies of God. But thank the Lord for the ministry of reconciliation, in that through Jesus Christ we were reconciled unto Himself. And we were brought back by way of Jesus Christ and His life, His death, and His resurrection. We are brought back into fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are brought back, we are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who gave His life for us. Amen? Everybody with me? How are we to be reconciled to the God? Through Jesus Christ. By what He did for us on the cross of Calvary, and that He gave His life and shed His blood there on Calvary and died for us and then was buried and then rose again the third day from the dead. Paying for our sins in full. Paying our sin debt. Listen, this morning we are reconciled through Christ, and He is calling, as the old hymn says, He's tenderly calling today. The old hymn says, there's room at the cross for you. Again, He calls all to Him. He would have all to be saved. Christ desires your friendship. And the first step in that is salvation. Are you saved this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You say, Brother Crawford, preacher, I've heard that and heard it and so forth. And I just don't think it's time yet. I'm going to put it off a little longer. The Bible says today is a day of salvation. No man knows what tomorrow may bring forth. Listen, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen when you leave this building. Won't you get it settled today? Again, His love is ever true. Why? Saved by His power divine, saved to new life sublime. My life is now sweet, and my joy is complete, for I'm saved. You want a life of joy? Difference between joy and happiness. You want a life that is sweet? That life is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham was called the friend of God, number one, because he was called. Listen, you're called this morning. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? The big one is the next one. He obeyed. Here's the tough one, and I hope that you'll listen this morning. Abraham left everything. His father, his mother, he left everything to follow the Lord's command, to go to a place he'd never seen, and yet God told him to do it, and he did it. He left and he went. Abraham obeyed God. Obeyed God. By the way, he did it promptly. When God told Abraham to offer up his son Isaac, the Bible says he gathered the stuff together and went. Boy, there's some other things we could talk about there, but man, what a place to be in. Not knowing the road, but following God's commands. You must heed the call. You must heed the call if you're to be a friend of God. I'm speaking again this morning to Christians. Whether you've been saved a year, 6 months, 2 days, or 30 years, there is a call of obedience to the Christian. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Friendship with Christ is not based upon wealth. Not based upon faith. I'm sorry, fame. It's not based upon social standing. But upon obedience. Doesn't matter what kind of car you drove here this morning. Doesn't matter whether you live wearing a $10 suit or a $3,000 suit. Friendship with God is not based upon social standing. Friendship with God is not based upon church attendance as such. In other words, attending church more and more simply to gain favor with God. No. Friendship's based upon obedience. Obedience is not merely abstaining from evil. It's important, amen, it's important to live a righteous life, a moral life, because He's commanded us to do so. But just simply to say, I'm not a drunkard, I'm not a gambler, I'm not a cusser, I'm not dishonest, I'm not a liar, does not necessarily make you a friend of God. The Pharisees did those things. Didn't make them a friend of God. It's not just the things we don't do, but the things we do that matter. In other words, God has given us some commands. In other words, we must show proof that we love Him. Show it by doing whatsoever He commands. Notice He doesn't say obey sometimes. Well, you know, Pastor, I go to church on Sundays. Or at least every other Sunday. Well, the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 10 says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Amen? We're to be church and be faithful to church. Is that not a command? Hello. I'm just reading the book. It happens to be God's book. Hebrews 10:25, you can look it up. We are commanded. We are commanded not just to obey Him sometimes, but to obey Him all the time. If you keep My commandments. Notice you can't pick and choose the commandments you want to keep. Well, you think of the big ones. The preacher, those big ones out there. Those really, really big ones. What about the little bitty ones? See, the little ones are just as important as the big ones. It's important for you to be at church, to do the Lord's command, but it's also important for you to be a soul winner and tell others about Jesus. But it's also important for you to pray. It's important for you to give. It's important for you to read your Bible. It's important. I mean, you just go through the list, right? If you keep My commandments. Oh, man. Room's got quiet. By the way, I know we used to say this all the time. When my dad was preaching, he'd say, all right, pointing the finger at everybody, pointing the finger, and three pointing back at me, right? I want to remind you, the pastor has to preach this to himself before he preaches this to the congregation. Somebody had to write it down. I didn't get mine off the internet, okay? At sermon.com. We don't get to pick and choose. Also it says, you are My friends if you do whatsoever, what? I command you. Notice it says I. Our service is as to Christ Himself. As to Christ Himself. Your service here at Heritage Baptist Church is not to the preacher, it's not to the deacons, it's not to the Sunday school director, it's not to the master's club director, it's not to the choir director, it's to Jesus Christ Himself. I'm here to serve the Lord. This is the house of God. My service is to Him. All honor and glory should be directed to Him. We are to serve Him. By the way, we're to serve Him with gladness. If a friend asked us to do something, we wouldn't go like some kid, would we? You know, if your genuine friend asks you to do something, I have, and some of you are this same way, I have friends, a couple of friends from high school. I said I didn't have any friends in high school, but I had a couple. Later on, my senior year, I found that out. All the crying was done my freshman year. During the voice changing stage. I found out I had a couple of friends. And even today, and some of you are this way, even today, if they were to call me and say, man, I'm in this is going on in my life, I need your help, and can you come? Man, I get in the car and I go. And I wouldn't do it because I had to. I do it because I want to. They're my friend. My dad is my friend. I would do it, and I would do it with gladness. And sometimes it bothers me that when God commands us to do something, that we hem-haw around and we ho-hum about it, and we get negative about it. And say, "Oh, preacher, I'll do it, but," or you know, it's done with grudgingly and so forth. Listen, we ought to do it with gladness. Our friend has asked us to do something. Jesus Christ has commanded us to do something. Let's do it with gladness. Let's do it with the right spirit. We don't have to do for friends because we have to. We do them because we want to. By the way, the love of Christ constraineth us. He died on the cross for us. He shed His blood for us. Gave His life for us. The least we can do is obey Him. Obey His commands. Spurgeon said this. He says, when duty becomes delight and precepts means laws, are as sweet as promises. Notice what it says. I'm going to repeat it again. When duty becomes delight and precepts are as sweet as promises, then are we Christ's friends, but not till then. Isn't that good? Spurgeon was a kind of a spiritual guy. I like this one too. If you trust His cross, you should revere His crown. If you trust the cross of Calvary, why would you not revere His crown? He's the King. He's in charge. We're to do His commands. As we think about Abraham, we think about a man who obeyed. We think about a man who obeyed promptly. He didn't ho-hum around or try to talk God out of it, but he obeyed God. He revered the crown. He understood the direction in which the Lord was going, and they were going the same direction. Understand this morning that Christ loves you. Christ loves you. Christ is for love. And if a man is for himself, he is not going the same direction as the Lord is going and cannot be His friend. Does that make sense? How can two walk together lest they be agreed? If we are going to, in other words, you think about this in your own friendships, the friendships you have, most of them are based upon mutual things in common, mutual beliefs. It's hard to have a friend who believes something contrary to you that is at the core of your beliefs. Right? It would be hard for me to have a very close friend who did not agree with me politically. Hello? Right? It would be very hard for me to have a close friend who did not agree with me and what I believe the Bible speaks and teaches on. It'd be very hard for me to have a close friend who was that way. I'm using the word close because in our day and age we have degrees of friends, right? We have acquaintances and so forth, right? So, if we are to be the friend of God, we must be going the same direction. This is the direction He's going. Amen. We must follow His direction. Isn't that good? Follow His direction. We must follow His direction. Follow me, He says. Many Christians tarnish Christ by their conduct. Man is known by the company he keeps. What would you think if Jesus hung around and was friends, not hung around, but if He was friends of those who were immoral? In other words, we have people claiming to be Christians who are living immoral lives. We have people today claiming to be Christians who do not follow His commands. By the way, the word Christian means Christ-like. Just because you're saved does not mean you are a Christian, by definition. A Christian is one who lives Christ-like, who lives like Christ would live. I told you there wasn't a set of rules whereby we are absolutely 100% the perfect Christian. Our only rule is to follow Jesus. Do as He would do. Live as He would live. Amen? That's the relationship we have with Him. And there's so much more. Listen, we as the friend of God will understand and know when that communion is shut off. When we sin, the Bible says, our fellowship with God is broken. And I don't know about you, but there's been many a time I've come and have that sweet communion with God for 3 or 4 days, and then I come the next day and I sit down to read my Bible and nothing. Nothing. There's nothing. I can feel it. In my spirit, my soul, I know it. There's something there. There's something between me and the Savior. And I had to get on my knees and search the Scripture as well as pray the Holy Spirit to help me know what that is and ask for forgiveness. And the fellowship is restored. That sweet communion with God is restored. That Holy Spirit leading and guidance is restored. Christians, we cannot be friends with God and have fellowship with Him when we are knowingly doing wrong and not sorry for it. When you are living in sin and you know it, and you are knowingly do wrong and you don't feel sorry for it, You cannot have that fellowship, and you cannot have the friendship of God until you ask for forgiveness. Amen? 1 John 1:9 says that He's faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins. If we'll simply ask, He'll forgive us. Abraham obeyed God. And though he sinned from time to time, he always got back on track. Not only does sin break our fellowship, but the lack of Bible reading. And listen, you can't have a friendship with God if you never read His Word and never talk to Him. Amen? Friendship is developed. Let me move on. Friendship is not gained by giving. In other words, I don't have to give you money to be my friend. And neither do you have to give to God for Him to be your friend. It's not giving that gains friendship with God, but it's obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. He said, the old prophet said that to Saul. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Well, you know, I gave this, I sacrificed and did this. All right, God. No. Now, if He told you to do it, that's obedience. But if you're simply doing it to gain His friendship and to gain His approval, that's not it. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Friendship is not gained by you being miserable and starving yourself to death through fasting. Well, I'll just fast 40 days and 40 nights. Then God will be my friend. Well, the Pharisees did things like that. It's not those things, unless God tells you to do something like that, and it would have to be absolutely distinct. But obedience. It's obedience. Abraham obeyed the Lord. Well, if I go to more churches, if I go to church every morning and every evening, and if I be a part of a parachurch organization and get involved in helping the poor and doing all these things and doing all this and doing all that and no. Obedience is what God desires for friendship. Obedience. We must steadily, carefully, and persistently, cheerfully do the will of God from the heart in daily life from the first waking moment until our eyes are closed. And say concerning everything, what would Jesus have me to do about this? Will this be a friendly action to Christ? Will this honor the Lord? And do everything as if Christ was standing in front of us. I'm going to stay here for just a second. If Christ was standing right beside you, how would your actions be different? If Christ was standing beside you in everything you did all day long, every day, how would your life be different? Then you need to live your life as if Christ is standing beside you. Because the Bible says He is. How am I living? If I'm to be the friend of God, as Abraham was a friend of God, I must, number one, understand that He has called us. Salvation is the beginning of that friendship. And number two, obedience. Obedience is paramount to being a friend of God. A friend of God. Are you obedient to His commands? Are you obedient to His will? Are you obedient? I think about other examples of this. It says there in James that Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. The Bible says he staggered not at the promises of God. You say, well, Abraham, you know, he went into his wife's handmaid. He was being disobedient. No, he still believed that God was going to give him a son. He just tried to circumvent the way in which God was going to do it. He staggered not at the promises of God. Abraham never staggered that God was going to give him a son. He just staggered at the method in which God was going to give it to him. He believed God. He believed God and he promptly obeyed God. And the Bible says because he believed God, Abraham was promised that through him and through his loins, the Messiah would come one day. Through him, he would be the father of many nations. That his seed would be as the stars of heaven and as the sand of the seashore. That through his seed, through him, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. That includes us, by the way. Through him, through Abraham, all the nations of earth would be blessed. How? By the Messiah. and giving His life for us and dying on the cross for us. Abraham believed that promise. He staggered not at that promise. All right, let's think about a couple other examples. Let's think about Job for a second. The Bible says that Job was a perfect man, right? That word means complete. That he feared God and eschewed evil. That means he fled from evil. In other words, Job was a righteous man. Everyone with me? All right, so Job, the Bible says that Satan came to God and there was a test to take place. And Job had everything taken away from him. All of his wealth, all of his children, even his wife came to him and said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" The Bible says Job said, "Naked came out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Amen? But did Job stagger? I think he did. If you read the rest of the account, Job continues to question back and forth. He continues to question about not understanding why God was doing this to him. Everybody with me? He did that. I'm not saying he's a sinner because he did it, but I'm saying he questioned those things. I don't read that account of Abraham anywhere. You can challenge me on it, but I just don't see it. King David, was David a man after God's own heart? Did David stagger from time to time at the promises of God? Absolutely he did. Did Abraham? I think that puts Abraham pretty way up there, doesn't it? Abraham was a friend of God because he was obedient to God and he believed God. He just believed Him. Do you believe the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Do you believe everything found in this Word? I was listening to a radio show this last week. I just happened to flip it over there. And it was, you know, one of the sports channels on the radio. And they were debating about the Old Testament stories and their historical accuracy. And one of the men on the radio said, "Well, you know, I just believe you can't paint yourself into a corner and say that the Bible and the Old Testament is absolutely accurate historically and scientifically." I wanted to reach through and grab the guy by the neck. You don't believe it historically or scientifically or whatever, the Old Testament, you just believe there are, and he said it, that he said they were good moral stories to teach us moral lessons. Yes, they are good stories that teach us moral lessons, but they're facts. This Bible is true from cover to cover. Do you believe that? I do. Not a doubt in my mind. Not one doubt. I believe God. I believe when I knelt at the age of 6 years old and I said to the Lord, "I repent of my sins. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. And Lord, please save me. I believe You did, lived, died, and rose again. Please save me." And I believe at the age of 6 years old in my pastor's office, kneeling on his couch, that I accepted the Lord as my Savior. And the Lord saved me on that day. In that very instant, at that very second, He saved me. And I now escaped hell and now I have a home in heaven. Amen? I believe it. There's not a doubt in my mind. I believe Jesus is soon to return. I think it could be today. It could be right now. I believe it. Abraham believed God. He trusted in Him. He staggered not at the promises of God. Staggered not. Abraham was a man who believed. The Bible says because he believed, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Not because he offered up his son. Not because he gave immense amounts to Melchizedek or whomever. No. Because he believed God, he was saved. He received the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saves us." It's not by works that we are saved. It's by believing and trusting in the promises of God. In the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a friend of God this morning? First off, do you know Him as your Savior? Have you been reunited with Him? Have you been reconciled to Him? Do you know for sure that if you were to die right now, if you know for, without a doubt, do you know that you know that you know, if you were to die right now, that you'd have a home in heaven? Do you know that? You can know it. The Bible says you can know that. You can know for certain. 1 John says that you might know that you have eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. But the wrath of God abideth on Him. You can know. This, in just a moment, we're going to sing a verse of invitation. You come down the front altar, and a worker here at the altar will show you from the Bible how you can know that you can have your sins forgiven and how you can have eternal life and how you can have that joy that the song talked about and that sweet fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you been reunited? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Christian this morning, a child of God, are you God's friend? Now you know He's your friend. He don't move. Amen? His desire is to be your friend. He is that friend indeed. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But it's a two-way street. It's a two-way street. I can tell Brother Summers all day long, I'm his friend. I can tell Brother Watson, this is my friend. Don't mean nothing unless he says it. Right? Friendship's two ways. God is your friend this morning. He loves you. He desires to have a personal relationship with you. But are you His friend? Yes, salvation is great, and salvation gets you to heaven. And yes, there'll be many people who, per se, get to heaven by the skin of their teeth, you know. I don't want to get there that way. I want God to be able to say, as He said of Abraham, look there, angels. Look there, Satan. Look at my friend. Look at my friend. Look what he's doing. Look how he's living. Look what his desires are. No, none of us are perfect. God is not saying you got to be perfect to be his friend. Abraham wasn't perfect, man. He skirted around and did... No, David wasn't perfect. Joe. But look, look what he's doing. Do you desire to be obedient to God? When you sin, do you feel that broken fellowship and therefore go to God and say, Lord, forgive me and restore that fellowship? Are you in that kind of relationship with Jesus Christ? Because that kind of relationship will bring you joy and peace and life more abundant. Are you a friend of God? Christian, are you obedient to God? Let's all stand.